Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup over the weekend between the Titans and the Ravens. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Kadri Ismail, former Ravens wide receiver and co-host of the Purple pregame and postgame on WJZ-TV in Baltimore. Kadri, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing well. It's football playoff time, and I am excited.
We are excited as well here in Nashville. And, Kadri, obviously, you were a part of some big-time matchups for the Ravens against the Titans back in the days of Steve McNair and Eddie George and those big matchups in the AFC Central. What do you remember about those matchups and that rivalry specifically from your vantage point?
My goodness, bro, it was epic. I think when you look back on the AFC Central in particular, whether it be Jacksonville, Tennessee, the Ravens and Jacksonville versus the Steelers, like I said, the Ravens and the Titans, it was just epic. It was strong, hard-nosed football. And then when you look at, from my vantage point, and I've said this many a time on many a station in Tennessee, that arguably the greatest fan base as far as crowd noise, I would put them up against any Seahawks 12th man crowd. You know, you can go ahead and throw in Beast Mode with his Beast Quake touchdown against the Saints in the playoffs and all that, all you want. But when it came to the Tennessee Titans, and I don't even know what you guys call your stadium now, but Adelphia Coliseum, we rolled up in that mug, and you couldn't hear. You could not hear a single thing. If you were not locked in, you were not going to get to play. Period. And so it made for such theater. The awareness of the fan base there was epic, and it just made for some great football and some great matchups every time we would go down there or they would come up here and we would face them. So I loved it. And the fact that, you know, you talk about having to play your best to advance and you got to beat the best. I mean, Tennessee, you know, they had what I was famously on NFL films after we beat, I believe it was the Denver Broncos at home. And I was like, who's the only team to beat the Tennessee Titans in Adelphia Coliseum? And I, you know, jokingly pointed to my helmet. I was like, if you pick the Baltimore Ravens, you are correct. And you just knew that it was an extremely difficult place to play. And so, yeah, we went down there in the regular season, whooped up on them, and came back in the postseason and got another sweet victory. So a lot of fun, but for sure, much respect on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Kadri, obviously, you the great team you were on. That you guys win the Super Bowl, just a dominant postseason performance. And I think the Titans probably win the Super Bowl if they win that game that year. You know, I mean, it's all hypotheticals, but that turned out to be an upset, but it really was the game, I think, that you look at. I think back to last year, obviously the Titans turn around and get the big shocker over a 14-2 one seed Ravens team. So in Baltimore, how is this playoff rivalry viewed? I mean, does it feel like that was the proper revenge, I guess, for going all the way back to that and also the 2009 upset that the Ravens had?
Yeah, you know, so I thought, you know, the 2009 as well as our 2000, it just set a precedent of, hey, you know, these two teams, there's no love lost there, and you have to play your best, you know, because both teams are going to be very competitive. I think one thing from last year, though, it would have been more of a validation if, in fact, Tennessee advanced all the way to the Super Bowl and went on and took it. Obviously, Kansas City, they have their great, you know, team and the way they play and all that with Patrick Mahomes and good for him, you know, and good for Andy Reid and all that. But in particular with this rival game, you know, it's awesome. I really love it. I love the fact that when you look at the way you know, they're constructed very similar. You know, Mike Vrabel, I just kind of crazy how time is flying by. It's like, you know, he was one of my peers, you know, and now all of a sudden he's, you know, the head coach and his mindset shifts from being a player to a coach. I love the way he, excuse me, gets the most out of his staff, as well as the most out of his players. I think that they have a toughness edge that, you know, takes on the personality like their coach. And then at the same time, I think, you know, what Ryan Tannehill has done, you know, my career wasn't exactly a bed of roses. So I'm always for guys who can, you know, kind of look adversity in the eyes and overcome it. And so I think he's done, you know, a really amazing job. I think that they, you know, believe in him as a quarterback, and you got to have a stud, and you guys got a bona fide stud in Derrick Henry. So, yeah, the pieces fit down there for a good matchup. And then I think, you know, obviously what Baltimore is doing this year, trying to overcome their level of adversity, whether it be, you know, COVID and some of the other things that have come about, you know, even for Lamar Jackson and the way he has had to battle through some things as well, to look back on this season to go down to Tennessee, I think this team is far better prepared than what we saw last year as far as the matchup.
Qadri Ismail, former Ravens wide receiver, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. And Qadri, you brought up Lamar Jackson there, and I do want to ask you about this. There seems to be this narrative out there nationally that, you know, this Ravens offense, he is the quarterback, maybe not equipped to win in the playoffs, and he's only been in two playoff games at this point. So, number one, do you think that perception has any merit to it at all, or are people overreacting? And number two, what have you seen in terms of growth this year from Lamar Jackson?
So I missed the first part of the question. I know you were saying as far as Lamar and what I've seen as far as his growth. Tell me the first part again, please.
Just that narrative that's out there of maybe this offense and Lamar can't get it done in the playoffs, even though he's only had two cracks at it so far in the playoffs. Gotcha. Are people overreacting to that?
I know what, I think so. I think the first year it was, you know, Greg Roman getting this talented player to be his guy, and lo and behold, he salvages, you know, the season. You know, Joe Flacco era ended. Here comes the Lamar Jackson era. I think last year it, you know, was a scenario where this team was on a roll, but towards the end of the year, they started getting banged up. People don't recognize that they weren't at full strength. And in getting banged up, plus the fact that they were the number one seed, puts in the added pressure of, for a coach, who do you rest? Who do you not rest? Who do you, you know, what all that comes into play, those distractions. You know, you want a seasoned, tough, mentally ready-to-play football team, and I don't think that they had that level of, like, moxie, if you will. Whereas Tennessee, you know, you're going up to New England, and it's like, hey, y'all suck. We looking at Tom Brady and all that. Oh, okay, we do, huh? Okay, we up in y'all place. Oh, okay, backs against the wall type thing, and then off they go. So I think this year with Lamar, his growth level has been, one, the consistency of growing upon, you know, the foundation he's already laid. I think he's done a fabulous job with, you know, his decision-making, when he should run, when he shouldn't. Obviously, passing the ball has definitely increased. You know, I thought early in the year there was some chemistry issues there with his guys, but I thought that, you know, the last couple of weeks that they've been worked out, if you will. And again, I think he's just trending towards, you know, a strong legacy as a legit quarterback.
On the other side of the ball, Qadri, how much better equipped is this defense to deal with Derrick Henry, you know, with Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell back? How different do you think this defense will look compared with the, you know, the first meeting back in November?
Calais and Brandon are just, they're the cog that makes everything go. They are the pieces that, if you look at this Ravens defense, the reason why you bring in Calais Campbell was because of Derrick Henry. That was the sole reason you sign him. You get other guys to come to play. It's because you got him and Yannick Ngakoue, Derek Wolfe. You continue to, you know, appreciate and love what Brandon Williams does. Because if you can, you know, the games we saw turn the tide of what the Titans like to do, it's when the defensive front didn't give Derrick Henry strong running lanes to get into that second level. Once he gets into that second level, well, I don't know many safeties want to try to be that bold and come up and handle their business. I think they make a business decision And by the time you get up in the third level, you know, every cornerback is trying to be like Josh Norman and not get too embarrassed and get stiff-armed to the ground. So, hey, I just think that if so goes, you know, Calais and Brandon, so goes their efficiency or their ability to handle what is going to be a tough challenge in Derrick Henry.
Kadri, I want to ask you last thing for you here about J.K. Dobbins and just the ascension that we've seen from him in this offense. And it felt like the Titans game was really when he got rolling, really became, I guess, the lead back for this offense. How much growth have you seen out of J.K. Dobbins throughout this season?
Yeah, you know, once they gave him the reins as the featured guy, you just saw what a special back he is. And, you know, the fact that he, over the last few weeks, have shown that he can improve and get better and better and better. It's just remarkable. And he has this smooth steadiness to his game that all of a sudden you look at it and next thing you know, he's quietly rushed for over 100 yards. You know, his way in which he has good vision, the way he's set up his blocks, the way he doesn't go down on the first contact, really good balance. And it was kind of funny because he was saying, you know, people didn't think he was that fast. And I think he put it on display with a 72-yard touchdown jaunt down the sideline. So, you know, really, really good job of growing for the young man. And it says a lot as far as, you know, the team's belief in him because they do so much with him. And you can't obviously put out Gus Edwards. So they're a deadly 1-2 combination.
Former Ravens wide receiver and co-host of the Purple pregame and postgame show on WJZ-TV in Baltimore, Kadri Ismail has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Kadri, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Kadri had to say there and also give our keys to the game for both the Titans and the Ravens for this matchup on Sunday. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. College football season is down to its final game, the national championship, as Ohio State squares off against Alabama. ESPN The Game Nashville has you covered as the college football finale will be on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 with the kickoff at 7 p.m. coming up on Monday. College football national championship coverage is brought to you by Boom Boss, Kraft Pizza and Tap House, Coleman Tractor, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Electronic Express. Everyone, very much looking forward to that game coming up on Monday between Alabama and Ohio State. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. Looking ahead to the matchup for the Titans against the Ravens coming up on Sunday. And Ryan Porth, let's start with you in this discussion. If you had to nail down a number one key to victory for the Titans in this game against the Ravens, where would you start?
Good start.
Yeah.
That's where I would start, is a good start to this game. I don't think they're coming back. If they go down 10-0 or 14-0, it's scary when the Ravens get to play their game, when you can force Lamar Jackson to have to throw the ball. And that's what was so key last year in the playoffs. In the first quarter and a half, all of a sudden, Titans are up 14-0. You get the first touchdown from Janu in the first quarter, and then you stop him on 4th-and-1 to start the second quarter, and then Khalif Raymond scores that big touchdown off play action, make it 14-0. All of a sudden, you're forcing Lamar Jackson to become a quarterback and not, you know, the dual threat that he is. So I would say first quarter, you get up 7-0, you set the tone, you punch them in the mouth, and make them start doubting that they can beat you.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, you hear fast start, and it's important in every game. I think it's critical in the game against the Ravens. I agree, when they're allowed to play their style of play, you know, it can be dangerous, and we've seen how effective they've been at it the last 5 weeks. The Titans did come back in the first meeting, but I think putting yourself in a hole like that again, that's going to be asking a lot of your offense when that happens. So I agree. I think a critical start is key in this game against the Ravens. Joe Rexrode, what's your number one key to victory for the Titans in this game, looking ahead to the matchup against the Ravens?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go just statistical, and you know, sometimes it can be deceiving. And in fact, this actually didn't. The Titans didn't hit this benchmark a year ago in the playoff win. But I'm going to say 150 yards, and that's the Ravens rushing game. You know, I think that if the Titans hold the Ravens under 150 yards rushing, I think the Titans will win. I think that's also very tough to do. But, you know, in the meeting this year, the Ravens had 129 rushing yards, 51 of that for Lamar Jackson on 13 carries. J.K. Dobbins did have a nice game, 15 for 70. But you know, they didn't have the ball. They didn't run it down their throats all day like they like to do. And now last year in the playoff game, they did run for 185. So, again, that's where it can get deceiving. I mean, Lamar Jackson had 20 for 143 in that game, as it turns out. But a lot of his – I mean, he also threw, by the way, for 365.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy had 500 yards on you, and everybody's like, Lamar Jackson stinks, you know. But a lot of that was after they got into that uncomfortable spot. And I agree with Porth. I mean, there can't be a more glaring situation of a fast start needed in an NFL playoff game than in this one. It's more critical, I think, for the Ravens, because I think the Titans have the versatility to still come back if they need to. We just saw that in November, down 21-10 to this exact team. But it's important for both of them. If either of these teams comes out and really establishes something in that first quarter, I like that team's chances a ton.
And I'll go on and throw this out there too. I mean, I think Derrick Henry's going to have a good game. I don't know if he's going to get back up to 195 like we saw last year against the Ravens in the playoffs. I just think this Baltimore team probably better equipped to defend him heading into this matchup. Now, we've seen teams, you know, equipped to defend him and then still put up numbers. So I'm not going to doubt Derrick Henry heading into this game. But two guys, I think, to me, that have got to be at the top of their game to really give the Titans a chance, and that is A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. We saw them tear up the Ravens in the last game. They were able to get open. They were able to make key plays after the catch, obviously with A.J. Brown's touchdown dragging half the team into the end zone. I'm not saying you got to do that and be at that level, but you've got to be – when you've got these opportunities on deep post routes to catch the ball – you got to have a catch. You can't have a case of the dropsies like we saw last week from Corey Davis, like we've seen at times this year from A.J. Brown. Those two, you've got to be able to take advantage of your opportunities, because I do really like this Ravens defense. I think when they're at the top of their game, it's one of the top handful of defenses in all of the NFL. And we know for the Titans to win this game, the formula is going to have to come on offense. I mean, you're going to have to score close to 30 points in this game to win. So those two guys, to me, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, I know Derrick Henry is going to get a lot of attention, but those two have got to be at the top of their game in this matchup.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, it's and again, it's we've talked earlier in the show on the Jonnu Smith, you know, change in role and all that, and they haven't had Humphreys much, and it doesn't look, you know, they're not going to have him this week. So much in some of these games down the stretch here, it's been, you know, Tannehill throwing whatever, 28 passes, and 22 of them are targeted for those two guys. I mean, there's no secret about where they're going, and sometimes they have two-man routes, you know, and just to give him time, and they're still finding ways to connect on those. And those guys have both got to produce, I think, in this game.
So let's flip things around. When you look at the Ravens and what the formula needs to look like to win this game against the Titans, obviously they've been unable to do that in the last two matchups with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. As you look at Baltimore and their game plan coming in here, what's the key to victory for the Ravens?
I mean, to me, I with this question, I'm going statistical. So, you know, and I'm just going to make it very simple here. If the Ravens are even or better in turnover margin, they'll win. I mean, to me, the Ravens right now are playing better, and I think they are trending toward, you know, winning this game if they don't have the big mistake. And I think on the flip side with the Titans, like, their defense has to figure out a way to get Lamar Jackson to make a mistake or to get the ball on the ground, strip the ball out, something like that. I think that's the extra thing this Titans defense is going to need to get it done Sunday. So if the Ravens just are even or plus in turnover margin, then I think they're going to win. I think if they don't make the big mistake and they do what they've been doing, I think they're going to find the end zone a lot Sunday.
I would agree. I mean, obviously, I think turnovers probably is the number one way I would go with that discussion as well. I'll say this. I think getting Mark Andrews heavily involved in this game, we've seen him have success against the Titans. You think back to the matchup this year, 5 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown for Mark Andrews. That's going to be a key piece that the Titans focus in on defensively. If you're Kevin Byard, in the times that you're matched up against that guy, you've got to live up to the expectations. Like, you've got to get in there and prove that you still are a Pro Bowl or an all-pro caliber safety in this league. I think if I'm the Ravens, I'm testing the Titans over the middle. You've talked about the ability to hit the deep ball, and I think most people, you immediately go to Hollywood Brown or somebody on the outside when you start thinking about that. But Mark Andrews has shown in his career he can go down the field as well. He can hit you and hurt you with the deep pass as well. So, you know, if Mark Andrews starts catching, you know, 6, 7, 8 balls in this game, that's going to be a problem for the Titans. I mean, you think back a couple weeks ago against the Giants, they targeted him 10 times at the tight end position. So, obviously somewhere that Lamar Jackson is very comfortable going with the football, and that's got to be, I think, a key point of emphasis for this Titans defense. You can't let Mark Andrews just absolutely kill you over the middle.
You know, another thing I've thought about this Ravens offense, and I look just specifically at the Titans games. Last year, the Titans were doing this great job, obviously, but then late first half, Ravens get it, you know, with not much time, and they go right down the field in a hurry up, get the ball out quick, you know, 2-minute offense, and he looks really good. For the first time all night, he looked really good there, and they were in that, again, a lot in the game, against the softer looks from the Titans just because they were playing catch up. But think about last year, or I'm sorry, think about in November and that game and Lamar Jackson, they are now in, they get behind because of that AJ Brown touchdown. And finally they're in, okay, got to go 2-minute, got to go hurry up, got to just get that ball in shotgun and get it out fast. And he went right down the field on the Titans, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think the worst place you want to be if you're the Ravens is just in like a normal game situation facing like 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10. Yes, I know the Titans. We know about the Titans' third down defense, but that's not comfort for Lamar Jackson. You know, so to me, one, throw on early downs, mix it up, keep the Titans off balance, throw to Mark Andrews, take some shots. But also, like, I wonder if the Ravens should go to that more often and just do a little bit of 2-minute for him, throw it around. I know it's not, it's opposed to what they do, but I think he's comfortable in those situations. Whereas if you're in, again, 3rd and 10, 3rd and long, and it's, you know, you have to throw, that's where the Titans want him all day.
So who wins this game between the Titans and the Ravens? We'll have that for you coming up next in Pigskin Pick'em. Got the whole slate of NFL games and the college football national championship game as well to pick from. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Yes, it is. That time of the week, Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. And Joe Rex Road, we've got a lot of games to get to today in the NFL and with the national championship game in college football. So let's very quickly, and for me, very mercifully, have a recap here of our standings.
Well, guys, it's getting a little bit interesting. One of us went 4-1 with 5 points. That was me.
Thank you.
Two of us went 1-4. That was you two. Porth, 1-4, didn't get your lock. Robbie, 1-4, you did get your lock. So it may be a little too late for a real comeback, but who knows? Right now, Morth, 39-35, 48 points, 9-6 on locks. Rex Road, 33-41, 40 points, 7-8 on locks. Robbie, 28-46, 37 points, 9-6 on your locks. So you're chasing me. I'm chasing Porth. There may be just enough football for someone to do something dramatic here.
This has become absolutely embarrassing for me at this point. So I'm going to try once again to rebound this week. And with that in mind, let's get things rolling in the AFC wild card round in the NFL. It's been a popular pick on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Bills and the Colts. The Bills favored by 6.5 in this game. Joe Rexrode, we start with you. Who do you like in this matchup between Buffalo and Indianapolis?
Look, this is a tough one. I would feel a lot better about this pick if it was 7.5. But give me the Colts and the points. I think that the Bills are going to win a close game. I think the Colts are going to make it a better game than a lot of people think. Although, our listeners all love the Colts to straight up win this game.
They do.
But give me the Colts in 6.5.
Lots of love for the Colts today here on the show. Ryan Porth, where are you going with this one between the Bills and the Colts? Bills minus 6.5.
Well, just a couple weeks ago, I said that these were numbers 2 and 3 in the AFC when it comes to teams in the playoffs. The Colts have a style of play that lends itself to playoff success with running the ball and having a good defense. Don't know if they upset the Bills, but I agree with Joe. They covered the 6.5.
I'm going to go the other way on this one. I really love the way the Bills have been playing as of late. Obviously, a lot of noise, a lot of energy in Buffalo right now. They haven't had a ton of trips to the playoffs as of late. Joe, you mentioned the ticket prices earlier this week. Just insane. I don't think the Colts' defense is as good as people hype it up to be. Give me the Bills to win big in this game. I think they win by double digits against the Colts. Moving ahead to another matchup in the AFC, the Browns and the Steelers. Steelers favored by 6 points in this game. Ryan Porth, we start things off with you. Which way are you going?
I'm going with the Steelers, and I am making that my guarantee.
Ooh, locking it down.
I think Kevin Stefanski being out for this game is a pretty big deal, and the Steelers kept it close with their not total JV squad last week in Cleveland, but they only lost by 2 points, so they didn't really care about that game. I think the Steelers, they figure it out defensively and keep the Browns low scoring, and they win by more than a touchdown.
I'm going to go the other way on this one as well. I'm going to go the Browns. I like the Steelers to win this game outright. I just don't trust the Browns in the playoffs, especially on the road at Pittsburgh, especially now with the COVID situation that you factor into it. But I think the Browns are able to keep it close. I don't trust Pittsburgh's offense, so give me the Browns to cover in this game and the Steelers to win outright. Joe Rexroad, which way are you going?
This is the toughest one of all of them for me. And in fact, I just deleted and I'm typing in a new I like the Browns going into the matchup to maybe pull the upset. But those COVID issues it's just hard. I just think Kevin Stefanski is so important to them on the sideline. Give me the Steelers to cover the 6.
So sticking in the AFC, the game we've been talking about all week long, the Titans and the Ravens. The Ravens favored by 3 points in this game. Ryan Porth, let's start with you again. Which way are you going in this game with the Ravens minus 3?
The Titans take a 27-24 lead in the fourth quarter. Ooh. Everyone's feeling good. And in the last 2 minutes, Lamar Jackson and company drive down and score the winning touchdown. Ravens win 31-27 and cover the 3.
Ooh. Joe Rexroad, which way are you going?
Yeah, see, I already made a pick at The Athletic, which was 34-31. I need this line to be different. I think this might end up being a 3-point final score, which what? That means we all lose. But I'm going to go 34-30 Ravens, and I think a similar kind of thing. Whoever gets the ball last wins, and I just think the Ravens get one more stop than the Titans and get it done, 34-30.
See, I'm going the other way again. I'm going with the Titans. I think they find a way to win this game. I think they get it done for the third time in a row against the Ravens, and I'm going against y'all again. It's not because I'm down in the competition.
I think it's
really not. This is just the way that I feel, and this makes me feel a whole lot worse going against you two. But I think the Titans, offensively, they get it done. I think they match up okay defensively in this game, and that's all you can really ask for out of this defense is just okay. I think they force a turnover. They win that battle, and the Titans get it done in the end. They win the game 34-33. I think it's going to be really, really close in this matchup. Let's switch to the NFC, the Bears and the Saints. Saints favored by 9.5 in this game. That's a big line, and I've already said it. I called my shot earlier, so I'll start things off here. I think the Bears not only cover, I think they win the game outright. Nobody's giving them a chance. Mitch Trubisky has been at the quarterback, and he had a bad game last week against the Packers, but that offense has been playing a lot better as of late, and I think if they can build an early lead, maybe some doubt starts to creep in there for New Orleans. So give me the Bears plus the 9.5. Joe Rexroad, where are you going?
Yeah, I definitely don't like the Bears outright, but I do buy the idea that their defense will keep it close. The Saints, I mean, they have a lot of work to do to get in sync, right? And I think this will be a bit of a grinder. And I like the 9.5 points. So give me the Bears and the 9.5.
Ryan Porth.
Saints.
Wow.
To cover the 9.5, I think the Saints, yes, the Bears have a good defense, but so does New Orleans.
All right.
So I think New Orleans wins a lower scoring game than maybe expected, but they still cover.
Sticking in the NFC, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The first time Tom Brady has entered the playoffs as a wild card team. Buccaneers favored by 7.5 in this game against the Washington football team. Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. Who are you taking in this one?
I think I'll be on an island here, and the half makes a big difference, but I'm going to take the Washington football team to keep this competitive with a, you know, just a tremendously talented young defensive line, Montez Sweat and obviously Chase Young. I think they get after Tom Brady. I think Alex Smith has a little bit of magic left, and I think they keep it close in a close loss to the Bucs. So give me WFT.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay in this game to cover the spread, and I'm going to make that my lock of the week here in the competition. I do like a lot of the pieces that they have up front in the Washington football team. I think that will cause problems for Tom Brady. But in the end, with that Tampa Bay defense, and I think they'll play near the top of their level, I just don't know where the points are going to come from Washington in this game. I think Tampa Bay figures it out. They pull away in the second half. So give me the Bucs minus 7.5. Ryan Porth.
I'm going with you, Robbie, on this one. Minus 7.5 with the Bucs. I'm not as confident as you, but Tampa Bay's defense, if they rise to the occasion, Alex Smith won't be able to do squat.
So what could have been potentially the game of the year, looking forward to it in the playoffs a few weeks ago, now has lost a little bit of its luster, but still an interesting matchup between the Rams and the Seahawks. Ryan Porth, let's start with you in this one. Seahawks favored by 3 in this game.
Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll together have never lost a home playoff game. Don't know how much that factors in without that 12th man up there in Seattle. But given the fact that we don't really know who's going to be quarterbacking the Rams, I will still go with Seattle minus 3.5.
Joe Rexroad, Seattle minus 3 in this game. Which way are you going?
No, wait, it's 3 or 3.5?
The line I have is 3.
Okay, I've seen it at 3.5. All right, well, they'll cover 3.
Okay, there you go.
And for, by the way, before I get into my pick, I went back on our friend Bob, and it was Robbie who picked the Rams and the Seahawks game 2 weeks ago. It was not Porth. So
sorry,
I was
Bob
yelling at Porth, and it was actually Robbie.
So direct your anger towards me.
I was about to say, yeah. I don't ever remember picking a Seahawks
well,
game.
Well, maybe just wait and see what my pick is here before Bob gets mad at
okay
me.
And in the effort of keeping Bob not mad at me, I'm also going to go Seahawks.
Well, in the effort of continuing to make Bob even more mad at me, I'm going with the Rams. I look at the Rams at this game, and it's been bad as of late. I think defensively, though, they've got a lot of great pieces. I think Russell Wilson, that offense has been struggling. I think the Rams find a way to get it done. They win this game outright. Give me the Rams plus 3. I'm sorry, Bob. It's nothing personal, but that's just the way that I feel. That does it for us in the NFL portion of this competition, but still the college football national championship game to get to coming up on Monday night, which you can hear right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth, let's start with you in this matchup. Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama favored by 7.5 in this game.
That is a tricky, tricky line. I've been going back and forth on this one, and you all know I've been picking Alabama against the spread almost no matter what the number is.
Yeah.
I'm going with Ohio State on this. I think this is going to be an instant classic game, and Ohio State at least keeps it close.
Joe Rexroad, Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama favored by 7.5.
See, now Porth is like all like we basically are mirroring picks, so Porth is not allowing me to make a big comeback on him here. But I can't change. I mean, I'm going with the Buckeyes, and I'm making it my lock.
Ooh.
Homer.
O-H.
Of course he is.
Homer.
O-H-I-O. No one knew all these years that I was actually a closeted Buckeyes fan. But now, look, I think they might win this game outright. I think it's going to be a great game. We got so many great NFL games first, but I mean, what a buffet of football we're looking at here. And I really think that Monday we're going to get treated to a classic. But yes, I think it's at the least a close game. And I'll just put it out here too. Buckeyes are going to win this sucker with a late touchdown. But give me the Buckeyes as my lock.
Do you have Brutus on speed dial?
I mean, I do have Urban's number.
That's true.
Humble
brag.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
Very nicely done by Joe Rex right there. I am going with Alabama in this game. Not only do I think Jalen Waddle is going to play, I think Jalen Waddle is going to have a pretty big game in this game. And that's the last thing that Ohio State needs, is another weapon for Alabama to utilize offensively. I think they win by 2 touchdowns in this game. Give me Alabama -7.5.
You know what I'm looking forward to the most in this game is watching Kerry Coombs.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
Just doing snow
in a
angels
national
and confetti.
Championship game. Yeah.
It was amazing.
He's a little bit fiery. Yeah, the Titans missed him too.
Yeah.
Do you have his number in your phone?
I do, actually. Would you like that? I've got all kinds of Buckeyes for you.
Very nice.
Robbie and I have just about every pick different, so this may end up being me back in last place if things break for you here.
Or
Robbie.
It could just be the nail in the coffin of me in this competition that really has already been driven through me. So that does it for today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Good luck to the two of you. Not really. We'll see what happens over the weekend. When we come back, we'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and Ravens. Get your predictions as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who wins between the Titans and the Ravens? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Titans fans, make sure you check out the place to watch the game this Sunday, which is Corner Pub, with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and now in Cool Springs. Plus, they're going to have great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the new Corner Pub in Cool Springs this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Baltimore Ravens. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And remember, Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. So, Joe Rexroad, we've gone through our edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Both you and Ryan Porth have picked the Ravens to win this game in a close one. I've got the Titans winning this game in a close one. Let's go to our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What's your prediction for Sunday's game for the Titans against the Ravens? And the options are the Titans win by 4 or more, the Titans win by 3 or less, the Ravens win by 4 or more, or the Ravens win by 3 or less. More than 220 votes in, 35% going with the Titans win by 4 or more, 31% going by the Titans win by 3 or less, 26% going with the Ravens win by 4 or more, and just 8%, Joe, going with the Ravens win by 3 or less. So, number one, a lot of confidence in the Titans in our polls to win this game outright. But number two, if the Ravens win, people think Ravens win by 4 or more.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would have expected more people to pick the Titans to win here, so that makes sense. But, I guess if I would have had to pick a most likely scenario, would probably be the closest possible Titans win, and that's not what it is. So a lot of confidence. And, you know, you should be more confident that I picked the Ravens to win the game outright, by the way. So there
yes.
you go.
So as you evaluate this game and you've come out with your pick now, is the difference maker to you ultimately at the end of the day just the lack of faith in this Titans defense?
It is. And again, it's also the fact that the Ravens are a lot better, a lot different defensively than they were the first time around this year. You know, I mean, they changed that defense. Yeah. Not just for the Titans or because of the Titans, but I think it was a big motivator in that offseason. And what they did, they went out and they got pieces that actually have made a difference when they're healthy, when they're in there. And I think they will Sunday. I think you're right. I mean, look, the Titans match up here better than against most teams. So at least from a defensive perspective, you feel like you have a chance. I don't think the fact that the Titans did a good job against this offense twice in the last calendar year guarantees anything at all about Sunday. And I think physically the Ravens, the way they're running it and the way Dobbins is running it, I think the tailback running game, which was no factor a year ago, makes it even harder to deal with them Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And that's the one thing we said you can't have happen if you're the Titans. You can't have the running game just absolutely kill you in this matchup against the Ravens. I just think at the end of the day that Lamar makes one mistake that the Titans can capitalize on. We saw it last time these two teams played. in the regular season with the interception. We've seen it happen last year in the playoffs. I think the Titans defense, as many flaws as they have, one thing that they have been okay at this year is forcing turnovers and coming up with key plays and key turnovers in key times. It needs a big game out of Jeffrey Simmons. You're going to need some opportunistic plays in the secondary by Adore Jackson or by Kevin Byard or by Amani Hooker, like I threw out there earlier in the show as an X factor that I'm keeping my eye on. I just think Lamar is late one or two times on a read. The Titans are able to take advantage of that, and they're able to do just enough offensively to win in this game. With this Titans offense, if they're operating at peak level, I don't really care what the other defense looks like. I mean, the Titans are going to be able to move the ball. They're going to be able to put up points. I love the way Derrick Henry's playing right now, obviously. And I do. I have a ton of faith in Ryan Tannehill heading into this game. I said before on Call Your Shot Friday, I think 300 yards is on the table for him this week. I think 3 touchdowns is on the table for him this week. I think he's going to have a big game. I think even though it's probably not something that he's focusing in on, I think this is going to be a game where he looks around nationally and says, you know what? Look at me. I can play quarterback at a high level. It's not all Derrick Henry here in Tennessee. And I think Titans find a way to get it done.
Well, if they get that turnover or two, and then they don't make the mistake on offense, then I like their chances too. You know, I mean, that's a huge key here is to – whether it's by finding a way to get him, get pressure on him in an obvious passing situation, or just, you know, a coverage, a disguised coverage that confuses him, or like you said, he's just late, which definitely happens sometimes. That's a big part of the formula. And this game's going to be, and you can say this about a lot of games in this league, you know, but there's going to be about 4 or 5 plays that we point to Monday that will determine this game. And if a Lamar Jackson pick or two is involved, then I think it probably will be among that handful of plays that decide it.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Paul from Franklin, who wants to weigh in on the Titans and Ravens. Paul, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Rail. Go ahead.
Hey, thank y'all for taking my call. Good morning to you. Go Titans. Look, I got a little different perspective on it. I believe that hopefully – we're going to win the game Sunday, but my perspective on it is this, and I'll hang up and listen to your comments after I say it. I believe that we win or lose this game not by the play of Derrick Henry, not by the play of Tannehill, or not by the plays of all our other many quality special players that we got on our team. I believe we win and lose this game, and ever how far we go in the postseason, through the play of one unit, and that unit is the offensive line. I think the offensive line is the key to the Titans in the postseason. Without the good top play of the offensive line, we're not going to win any games, because that is the straw that stirs the drink. That's the unit that gets Henry going. That's the unit that protects Tannehill to make the throws. It all begins and ends with our postseason hopes, with largely on the play of the offensive line, and that's my comment, and I'd like to hear y'all's take on it, and thank you, and go Titans.
Hey, thanks for the call, Paul. Really appreciate that. And, Joe, I don't think there's any question. Paul's right there, and the offensive line, they got a heck of a test coming up for him this week against that Baltimore Ravens front.
I like it, Paul. Give the big ugly some love, you know. And listen, this is where, I mean, honestly, when you look at the Titans now versus a year ago, I mean, on paper, they are much reduced from what they were a year ago. When you consider, you know, they had Conklin, obviously they had Lawan, and right now they've got Saffold banged up, but even though he says he's going to play, that doesn't mean that they can't get the job done. I mean, I think it's been an incredible job by that offensive line, by Keith Carter, to plug in different pieces and play well. But hey, it's always a line of scrimmage game. And now you got a tougher defensive line to deal with, and it's a big, big test for those guys.
So real quickly, before we wrap up here on the show today, ESPN is doing this mega cast over the weekend for the Titans and the Ravens. And we've seen him do it a couple of times in college football, but basically on ABC and ESPN, the traditional broadcast of Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, and Lewis Riddick, who we had on the show yesterday, that will be the broadcast. And then over on ESPN2, Brewski, Matt Hasselbeck, Keyshawn Johnson, Booger McFarland, and Rex Ryan are basically going to break down the game from an X's and O's perspective. So some really cool stuff there as well. Joe, how much interest do you have if you're a fan in something like that with this mega cast that ESPN is putting together?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think those are interesting, and I think they are fun. I'd be interested in, like, taping him and going back. Like, if you're a Titans fan, I think those X and O's breakdowns, the way those guys do it, those can be really cool. But if I'm watching this game on television as a fan, I want the live, you know, I want the Monday Night Football crew. You know, I want Steve Levy yelling out when Derrick Henry has a big run. You know, like, I want the traditional experience. But I think it's a cool idea. And I think that crew could give you some really interesting, like, it's worth checking out later. And again, probably more likely if you win. So it remind me too. Now, is Hugh Freeze doing the natty Monday?
I don't know, man.
I think he is.
God, I hope not.
I think future Vols coach Hugh Freeze is doing the natty.
I bet the, all right. So if the cast that Hugh Freeze is a part of is on ESPN2, the highest ratings for ESPN2 in the nation will be Knoxville, Tennessee.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's one thing you can count on with Vol Twitter. They love them. Some Hugh Freeze. And we'll see what happens with the Vols over the weekend and obviously be back on Monday to discuss the Titans and the Ravens. That does it for us today. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. Have a good weekend. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.